I'm grateful that somehow, some way, that message of anything's possible sunk from my head to my heart. I believed it here in my head. I did not believe it to be true in my heart.
Welcome to the Happy Engineer Podcast, the place where we help engineers to build your career, balance your life, and be happy. My name is Zach White, a former engineer now turned CEO, lifestyle engineering coach, and your host. I believe that success without fulfillment is failure. Join me each week as we bring you an inspiring leader or message to help you enjoy both. Thanks for investing time with me today. Now let's do this. Have you experienced a major setback in life? If you're like the amazing engineering leaders who I have the privilege to coach every single day, odds are you have. If not right now, then in your past, you know what it's like to go through a tough time, to experience a major failure or setback. Well, today, our guest will show you how to turn that setback into a setup for your future. How will you create your life today? How will you create others around you? How will you create the world? Well, in this conversation, you're going to meet an incredible coach who works with country superstars like Tim McGraw and some of the top brands in the world, like the NBA. The amazing Pete Wilson asks himself those three questions every single morning. And initially, those questions may not even make sense to you. But when you hear Pete explain how and why they multiply the impact he has every day, among all the other incredible nuggets of pure gold that Pete shares with us, you're going to want to join him. Pete is a speaker. He's a certified life coach. He's a best-selling author who has published 4 books with HarperCollins, including his bestseller, Plan B. He has experienced massive setbacks, and you're going to want to hear the story straight out of his mouth, but he knows how to turn a situation around for your future good. So don't miss this. It is time to multiply your impact at work, to multiply your happiness at home, to turn a setback into a setup, and to be able to show the people around you that that's possible for them as well. And I would love to hear about the wins and the victories that you create in your career and in your life. So don't forget to join us in the Happy Engineer community online. Pause this really quickly if you have not joined. It's totally free. We would love to have you and enjoy a conversation about what's working for you or where you're stuck and where you need help. Click the link right there in the show notes, join the group, and then push play and join us back here for an amazing conversation with Pete Wilson. Happy engineers, welcome back. Pete, it is so good to have you on the show today. I really appreciate you making time and ironing out all these issues on Zoom before the call today to be here for the interview, man. Awesome to have you.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I've had some audio issues today, but that's all right.
You know what, Pete? I am an engineer and the happy engineer listening, it's like, we know at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how good you are with technology. Sometimes the software wins. It's just, yes, it's just
it does.
That way.
I feel like if I've had like a 48-hour period of not being on Zoom, when I get on there, something is going to be different. Like yeah, it's not yeah. going to be the same every time.
Yep. Yep. Well, for whoever is out there who works at Zoom and is offended by that, we're sorry, but it's just the way it yeah. is. So,
I'm sure it's user error.
100%. Operator error. 100%.
Yeah.
And hey, the one good thing about software, you just hit reboot and it always comes back to life.
So. That's right. That's right.
Well, Pete, you have such a powerful story, and I want to dig into how you got to where you're at today and the incredibly powerful work that you do as a coach, as a speaker, as an author. But there's a phrase that you use that I think sets the stage and is a great diving board for us to just leap right off of into what makes Pete's work incredibly special and different from what I've seen from so many other coaches out there. It's the phrase, anything's possible. And yeah. if I'm not mistaken, you have it tattooed on your arm. Is that right?
I do. Yeah, it's right there.
So yeah. For those who are just listening, you missed it, go check on YouTube. But you got anything's possible tattooed on your arm. So can you take us, Pete, to the place where the seed of that belief was planted for you?
That's a great question. I think there's a series of moments in my life that have really led me to believe that that's true. And I think for me, years back, I'd watched certain people that seemed to just accomplish incredible things and really had a unique opportunity to spend a lot of time with some very successful people, people that the rest of the world looks at and just thinks that they are just gifted in a unique way that makes them, you know, perfectly positioned to accomplish the big things they're accomplishing. But the more I had conversations with them, the more I discovered while they certainly had giftedness, their giftedness was not that far off the charts from everyone else, right? But what they did do was that they were very intentional about their life. And there's this phrase I use a lot of the difference between living a created life versus a default life, or you could say a design life versus a default life, where a default life is basically you're just responding to the circumstances around you, right? You just kind of react to them. Life happens and sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But then there's this other idea that I saw with people that were living this created life, right? They really believed that anything was possible. It wasn't that they thought everything was just going to be great and easygoing, but they really partnered their thoughts, their actions, their intentions all together, and they went after the life that they wanted to live. And I just saw that again and again and again, and I just thought, wow, the average person, you have a choice. You can either live this design life or this default life. Yeah. And in a design life, I really believe anything is possible.
It's amazing. I know certainly client confidentiality is important in coaching, Pete, but are there any examples of those people that you would be able to share with us where on the surface it might seem that they were gifted or advantaged in some way, but you had the privilege of discovering they're not that different from you and me?
Yeah, there's a couple. One that really stands out that everybody will know this name, Taylor Swift. And this is years ago. She was still in country, but starting to transition over into pop. And spent a couple days with her. We were out on a bus. Her mom's there. We're just talking through everything, right? It became crystal clear to me that this young lady, 20 years old, I think at the time, her talent, everybody knows her talent, right? But what was happening behind the scenes was just as, in my opinion, spectacular. There are certain ways, right, that the music industry works with management, sure. Make a percentage of what you do. So it's always in their best benefit to book you as much as they can possibly book you. Every tour, every movie, every whatever. And she had seen that happen. She had seen what happens in that traditional model. And she just turned the whole model upside down. She didn't do the percentage thing. She paid people on salary versus percentage for this and percentage for that, set her up to be more healthy, make choices for the overall brand of Taylor Swift.
Wow.
And I just saw those little things of just like, some people would look at her life and just think, oh, I want that. Like, that's exactly what I want. But the reality is there's plenty of people as talented as her with as many opportunities as her, whose life ends up in complete shambles. And she took control of that and said, no, I'm not going into the music industry and living a default life and just saying, this is the way it has to be. I'm going to make some changes that will benefit me, my family, my health. And it's phenomenal. At a very young age, she turned that model upside down. Just a great reminder to me of how, again, anything is possible. And living a created life is absolutely something that we can all do.
That's amazing. Pete, what I love about that example, and I wasn't expecting this to pop into my head, but there's just as much fear and uncertainty or default living on the road to success as there is to the perceived road to, quote, failure.
That's right.
You know, I don't think there's failure, just feedback. But the idea of reaching a certain stratosphere of fame or, you know, whether it's income, a level in your company, your vice president or CTO, but there's a lot of dead bodies, if you will, I've used quotes here, like along the road to those kinds of roles where people's lives behind the scenes are absolutely torn apart, or one day that journey to success chews them up and spits them out. I mean, how many singers, songwriters, famous musicians end up with these really tragic endings? So that's right. A great example where, you know, anything's possible doesn't just mean getting to success, but sustaining it in a way that fits with what you want. That's a really cool thing. Yeah. So when did that begin for you in terms of your story? Was this something that you were doing day one, right out of the gate? You were just born a coach? Or tell us about Pete's story a little bit. How'd you get to this point?
Unfortunately, it's not the prettiest of stories, you know, but that's often the way growth happens, right? But I spent the first probably 20 years of my adult life as a pastor. I started two different churches, and the second one I started here in Nashville, where I live now. And, you know, had tremendous success year after year, ranked one of the fastest growing churches in America.
Wow.
Numerically, everybody would have looked at it and said, oh my gosh, like how'd that happen? You know, but I was very much living a default life. I was not really paying attention to my health mentally, physically. I was completely burned out. I went through a massive personal failure with a divorce, which is painful no matter what you do. But if you're a pastor and go to a divorce, it's kind of lights out. I felt almost instantaneously everybody that had been around me for most of my adult life was running away from me because I was considered, you know, damaged goods. And I was very depressed, so discouraged, probably suicidal, certainly had those thoughts and struggled with that. I had three boys at the time. If it hadn't been for them, I don't know what would have happened. I really don't. But seeing those three boys and knowing that they depended on me was enough to start to pull me out of the funk and say, Pete, you've got to get up on your feet and figure this out. Yes, it's devastating. The divorce is devastating. Losing your career was devastating. But you're not starting completely from scratch. You have a lot of tools and experiences and relationships you've gained throughout your lifetime. And now it's time to figure this out. The default life for me at that point had become literally almost deadly to the point where I said, I've got to take control of this. I've got to live a created life. I've got to take control over my thoughts, over my actions, and start to build the life that I feel like I was created to live. And that rock bottom probably for me was the catalyst for me starting to put a lot of this back together again and use my past to help others so that maybe they could learn and grow without going through some of the painful mistakes I'd made.
Pete, I imagine, you know, you've probably gone through this cycle of questions many times, and I don't want to drum up pain for no reason, but I think it'd be really valuable for, you know, the engineering leader listening. I've also gone through a rock bottom divorce, and you and I share a bit of that story in common, but your point about as a pastor, like my heart really is, I get that, man. That just feels like if there was one way to make my situation even harder, that would have been it if I was not an engineering leader, if I had been a pastor. Because you're right, just the pressure of that congregation expecting a certain thing from you and then not getting it. So I'm curious, during those days, months, even years leading up to hitting that rock bottom moment of being divorced and what you just described to us, were there any signs or things that, like, you blew right past a road sign that, looking back, it's like, how did I miss that, that now you're really intentional about? And, you know, that was a huge lesson for you along the way. Sounds like you're achieving amazing results in the church, but these other areas became blind spots for you. Looking back, can you describe, like, what was that trajectory like? I mean, did you just fall off a cliff and boom, or was it a slow fade and you missed some warning signs along the way?
Yeah. Publicly, I'm sure it appeared to everybody to be a jumping off the cliff kind of, like, I don't think the vast majority of people would have known that for years stuff had been bubbling up. For years, I had ignored taking care of myself. I lived with this scarcity mindset that, you know, every offer I had to write a book, every speaking invitation that came across my desk, I had to say yes to all of it because I lived with this idea. It could all dry up tomorrow. You got to hit it while the sun's shining. And that really contributed to the burnout significantly. I had no boundaries. That was probably one of my biggest issues. I was a people pleaser. Being a people pleaser and being in full-time ministry is a deadly combination.
Yes, it is.
It's toxic for sure. And so, you know, again, I had no boundaries. I was a people pleaser. But one of the incredible gifts that came out of all of that, I mean, nobody likes going through a public divorce, but when your approval rating goes from what many would assume was like a 99% approval rating to like a 5% approval rating overnight, you know, it's, I was not weaned off of the people pleasing. It just happened. All of a sudden I find myself sneaking into the grocery store at midnight with a hoodie on. So nobody sees me. And you know, it's just the shame that you have and you carry. It can be so destructive. But again, I look back and while I wish there would have been another way to learn and grow in the way that I did, I'm grateful. I'm grateful that somehow, some way, that message of anything's possible sunk from my head to my heart. I already believed that phrase. I already had this tattoo when I went through everything. I believed it here in my head. I did not believe it to be true in my heart. And I think that's often true of people that have some kind of like life message. They believe it to be true for everybody around them, but they can't believe it to be true for themselves.
Wow.
And what I got through that experience is I finally believed it for myself. And that's changed everything. And could not be more grateful for where my life is now, my relationship, my kids, the opportunity to get remarried and have a fourth. Now I have a daughter. Mm-hmm. I'm grateful, but man, it was a messy, messy process of transformation for me.
I had the privilege of seeing your beautiful daughter before we hit record today. And Pete, it's just amazing the redemption story of what you've come through. But real quick, what prompted you to get the tattoo then, if it was before this rock bottom moment?
It was always a message that was really important to me, one that I talked about a lot, spoke about it at conferences and at church and other places, this idea of anything's possible. I really believe that. There are a couple phrases around that I used to always say, everyone's welcome because nobody's perfect, but anything's possible. And that idea, I believed in that. Again, I believed that for everybody around me. I talked about it. I wrote about it, but I did not believe it for myself. And that process, that experience is what really helped it sink in for me.
That's really amazing how life and how God gives us the things that we need sometimes to become the vehicle that he wants us to be in the world.
That's
so
right.
Tell me for you, I remember in my own story after the divorce that I went through, those depression experiences and the days and months that followed, some really dark, tough times. But a lot of people, and this was my story, you find yourself knowing intellectually that I need to take action and get out of this place. And it's, I love your phrase, get into a designed life, a created life, instead of letting this default path that got me here continue. Yep. I don't know very many people who are in that place that wouldn't agree with that statement intellectually,
sure.
But getting yourself to do it is a whole different conversation and actually getting up off the proverbial couch and taking action. So is there something for you, any moment or any catalyst that you remember where you got out of that pattern of the negative thinking or the depression or the challenge of being in that place and said, okay, it's time to get going? What shifted or what caused the shift for you?
One of the things I remember very specifically was I was actually listening, I think it was a YouTube video, it was a woman named Byron Katie. And she had this video where she was talking about this question of our thoughts, essentially is what she was talking about. And she talked about one of the most powerful questions you can ask is that true? And then she followed it up with the second question is, are you absolutely sure that's true? I was like, that's interesting. And I started applying it to every thought that I had. My idea of walking into a grocery store and thinking that everybody was looking at me and judging me, I'd start to ask, is that true? And then I'd be like, well, maybe it could be true. And I'd say, but do you know it to be absolutely true? And I'd be like, no, I don't know that. And it really helped me start to see that my life was going to be moving in the direction of my most powerful thoughts. I don't think I'd really ever connected before how powerful my thought life was. So then my next question I would ask myself after I realized, yep, my life is moving in the direction of my most powerful thoughts is, do I like the direction my thoughts are taking me? And the answer to that in that moment was absolutely no, I don't like this. I don't like how I feel. I don't like my lack of community that I have. I don't like this depression that I feel every day. I don't like the hiding. I don't like it. I don't like the direction my thoughts are taking me. So then the next logical thing is, well, we need to change your thoughts, Pete. You know, we got to think better thoughts, think more true things, more noble things. Mm. And that really, for me, I think was a huge turnaround for me to understand and begin to realize the power of my thought life and how it would impact me.
This is huge. And maybe to extrapolate on this idea a little bit, life, your life, my life, the engineering leader who's listening right now, their life is moving in the direction of our most powerful thoughts. So for me, the first question that pops into my head hearing that is, what are my most powerful thoughts then? How do I get clear on what that is? What would you give someone, or how would you recommend we explore that? If somebody, maybe this is the first time they're hearing that idea, or they're curious about, like, okay, so what direction am I actually going? How do you understand what that really looks like for you individually? What are my most powerful thoughts?
Yeah. It's interesting because most people think, and this is true of almost every one of my clients, I'm sure it's true of your clients, true of people listening to this podcast right now. We think our problems are out there, right? They're out there in the world. I don't have enough money to pull off what I want to pull off. I don't have enough education. I'm too old. I'm too young. I mean, we think all of our problems, it's something out there. And the reality is it's almost always here in our mind. That's where it really resides. And so there's a little tool that I use that really helps me. And it's perfect because it really combines the two things we've talked about so far, the created life versus default life, and that this idea that your life's moving in the direction of your most powerful thoughts. So there's three questions that I ask myself every single morning. Oof. And I've been working through this for a while, and this has been really helpful. So the three questions are this: how will I create myself today? How will I create others around me? And then how will I create the world today? Now, I know for engineers, this is going to feel like a stretch, right? This whole idea of your thoughts and starting your day in this way. But I walk through those three questions. The question of how do I create myself today is, who am I as I show up, right? And I could start my day by saying, you know what, I'm not a good husband, and I need to be a more attentive dad. My kids don't listen to me. Or, you know, I can spin off all these thoughts like we often do when we start a day. How stressful today is going to be. You're not going to be able to solve this or figure this out. But I choose every morning when I ask that question of how do I create myself today, I literally write out how I'm showing up, to my work for that day. You know, I'll often write things like, I am really good at coaching high achieving people. I'll write things down like, I love being a great husband and dad. I really do. I love being a dad. I love being a husband. And I just kind of write out, again, how I want to show up. Because what I'm doing in that moment is, I'm creating those thoughts around who I am. Mm-hmm. And my life is going to move in that direction. And then, again, I ask myself, how am I creating others around me? And again, for some people, this feels like a stretch because you're like, well, I can't change them. And you're right. You can't change them, but you can completely change how you interact with them.
Yes.
Which then changes them. And so let's take today for an example. I could have been approaching this podcast and thought, oh man, I'm so nervous. Maybe Zach's going to ask me, you know, really hard questions, and I don't know the answer to it. And I start getting nervous and I start spinning off all these worst case scenarios. Or like today, because when I talk about how am I creating others around me, I look through my schedule for the day, right? I see, oh, I've got a podcast interview with Zach today. Man, I'm excited about that. I've done some research on you and on the podcast. I love the work this guy's doing. This guy's for me, right? He wants me to succeed. He wants me to do well. Like, he's invited me to be on his podcast. He believes in me so much. So why would I have any nervousness about it, right? And I literally go through that. I think about my wife and who she is and who I want her to be, how I want to interact with her. And then that third one, how I create the world today, I think is a really important one too, because I believe that life is happening for me, not to me, right? Good. And so I can sit there and spin off all kinds of worst case scenarios. The economy's terrible. Politics are out of control.
Sure.
Or I can choose to say, you know what, I'm going to create the world I live in. And I live in a world where the vast majority of people are doing the best they possibly can. I believe I have a friendly God who loves me. And I just kind of think about this world that I'm living in and the world that I want to live in. Because again, I'm trying to create my thoughts around the kind of life that I want to live.
One of the things about this whole exercise I absolutely love is that we're going back to what I believe is the root cause of what ultimately creates, which is our thoughts. So engineers, we do this at work all the time, Pete. And I see it with my clients where, you know, your product, I was a Whirlpool engineer, so I'll use an appliance example. You know, the dryer is failing a really critical test. And if we don't solve this problem and come up with a solution to pass this test, then we're not going to launch the product on time. And that's really bad news. And externally, there's this symptom, this result that is really negative. We're failing the test. And what do engineers do? We immediately dig in and start saying, well, all right, here's the data from the test, the results, but what led to that? And what are the inputs? And what's the all the facts about the design? And what are the things we can control, things that we can change? And let's go change those things. And then we'll run that test again. And this is every day, right? We get used to this.
Yeah.
And then we forget that you can do the exact same thing. Or maybe I shouldn't say forget. We're unaware that we can do the exact same thing in our life. I don't like the results I'm getting, my income, the quality of my relationships, the way that I feel when I get home from work every night. We don't realize that you can reverse engineer those results the same way. And if you back it up and back it up to the actions that you're taking and the way you're showing up to those actions, and then ultimately starting with the way you're thinking, such a powerful exercise. Can you unpack for us, Pete? I mean, as a coach, you have clients from all different domains. And of course, you know, I work exclusively with engineering leaders, but you have the luxury of kind of seeing a different audience, and not only an extremely high achieving audience with the types of clients you support, but in all different worlds. And can you just speak to, does it matter, or is there a difference between the type of work or the types of goals that people are pursuing as to whether or not life coaching is effective, or do you change the approach? Just kind of tell us a little bit about what you've seen in the work you do.
Yeah, I think it's effective for anybody and everybody. There's no doubt about that. For the average person, they're at point A, they want to get to point B. One of the things I love about a lot of the life coaching I do, and it's probably true of you as well, it's centered a lot around goals, right? I think goals are just the fastest way to get from where you are today to where you want to be. And so I do. I think life coaching is extremely effective for anybody and everybody. I do think that there's some unique problems that come along with people who, no matter what it is they do in their particular world, the higher they go up the org chart, the more power they get, the bigger the title, bigger the office, whatever you want to phrase it.
Yeah.
A unique problem usually settles in, which is the higher you go in any organization, fewer people that you have that you can be honest with about life.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know that, you sense that, right? And at the same time, what is also happening is there's fewer people who actually feel like they can be honest with you. And so now you're set up, not saying it doesn't guarantee that you're going to have major issues, but it's the perfect setup. When you feel like there's very few people you can actually speak truth to, because you're in a position of power, you got to be careful. You know, people could take advantage of that, of your weakness. And at the same time, there's fewer people who feel like they can actually say honest things to you. It's just, it's a recipe for a life of isolation, which then usually leads to all kinds of other things that will happen in your life. So that's why I've always seemed to be attracted towards people who find themselves in that position. The rest of the world looks at them and says, they've got it made. My experience is they usually don't. They're usually very lonely, scared, and feel like it could all cave in a second. Have you seen that?
Yeah. Wow. The way you framed it is so perfect. And I have seen it with my higher level, you know, VP or CTO level clients. And even in the world, as I do coach training and interact with other coaches and just have this exact conversation you and I are having, it shows up in every domain. It's not unique to engineering or athletics or entertainment or any vertical. But I love how you've put that. Just as you move up in whichever hierarchy you're in, If it's career, cool. If it's, you know, entertainment and movies, if it's sports, when you get to higher and higher levels, fewer people you can be completely honest with, and the fewer people who are willing or courageous enough to be completely honest with you leads to a real challenge. That's 100% true. And I think it starts sooner than people realize. It's not like only the top people. I see it with director level engineers, you know, their teams underneath them, one or two levels down, that senior engineer on the team is afraid to share the whole truth because they don't want the wrath of that person or to be seen as a low performer or you name it. So I think it's something to watch out for. Pete, I'll layer in another dimension to this. And you and I talked about this before the podcast today, that what I've experienced as an engineer in my own journey with coaching was that my ego really got in the way of me asking for help before it was too late and I hit rock bottom. And it wasn't until I was dragging my face along the rocky bottom of my life that I actually got up and asked for help. So what would you say to somebody who's really interested in accelerating progress from point A to point B in their life, but currently the belief, the thought that they have is, I can do that on my own?
I would say if you can do it on your own, do it. But my guess is that you probably can't or won't, and they should hire you, Zach. That's what I would say. They should hire you to help them get from point A to point B. I believe so much in coaching. If I could go back in my life, I would have hired a coach much earlier than I did, because I've just found it to be incredibly helpful for a lot of the reasons that we just talked about. Can you do it on your own? I mean, sure, maybe some people can. You could also completely remodel your house on your own if you wanted to, but don't know if, you know, you can, you have the skill set or the time to learn that skill set to do all that. Just in life, sometimes I have found getting someone who has professional expertise in a particular area, whether it's plumbing, electricity, working on your car. Same true with life coaching. You might, through trial and error, be able to figure it out, but I know very few who ever figure it out on their own. A lot of us didn't grow up necessarily in homes where our parents were a mentor or gave us the skill set to even know how to work through problems like that. And so I've just found that having somebody who can objectively help you look at your life and help you make those right next moves just gives you an extra confidence that is so helpful, and it speeds that process up so much. Mm.
Yeah, I agree with that. And totally did not set you up to recommend a Waco for coaching, but I appreciate the comment, Pete. The other thing I'll add to this, and I'm curious if you would agree or if you see this with your clients, I assume the answer is yes, but I relate back to my old days playing high school baseball. I loved being a part of that team, et cetera. But I can tell you with a high degree of confidence that even though being athletic and getting in shape is something I always had cared about, if I hadn't committed to being on that team, there's no way I would have gone to the gym twice a day, every day, and run nearly as hard as when my coach was the one blowing the whistle. And there's something about being in an environment where you have a coach who helps you set a standard for your life and blows the whistle to help you get going. And just the fact that they're there, you run a little harder. And the fact that you know you're accountable to that person, you give 100% or 110%. And for me, it's not even like I have to go as fast as humanly possible to my goals, but it feels good to run at 100%.
Absolutely.
And that's why I tell people, like, yes, you will get there faster. That's another bonus. But to me, it's not just the bonus of time, because there's always then another goal, right? We can talk about that all day, but it's the experience of actually giving my all that's so rewarding. That's why I have two coaches right now for different areas of my life. I just love being pushed. So I don't know.
Absolutely. And it's, you know, I get it. I understand why some people drag their feet on it. There's usually some kind of investment that's required, right? It's funny how we all tend to count the cost of a book, or we count the cost of a conference, or we count the cost of coaching, right? But no one counts the cost of being stuck in the exact same place you are right now a year from now. that's a big cost, you know, a whole year of your life, and you're stuck in the same spot spinning your wheels. So it really just comes down to how you want to invest, where you want to invest, and what's really most important to you.
Pete, before we wrap, I want to get curious about one thing. You being a visionary, goal-oriented leader yourself and supporting your clients in that way, what is the most courageous, ambitious goal that you have in your world right now?
I think for me right now, it's writing a book to my kids. So I'm in that process of trying to write a book just based around life lessons. I've written 4 books, but I haven't written in 10 years. And I completely given up. I told myself I was never going to write again, even though I have Anything's Possible tattooed on my arm. I'm not doing it. Like that part of my life's over. I've really felt recently that I needed to go back and kind of, again, look at that thought of saying you're never going to write again. And so I removed that you're never going to write thing about a year ago. And ever since then, I've got more ideas for books than I have time to write. But the most important one to me is just kind of a life lesson book that I want to write to my kids to hopefully kind of coach them through some scenarios where they don't have to repeat all the same mistakes that I've made in my life.
I love that. And if I'm not mistaken, Pete, you are addicted to hope. And I hope as well that this becomes something extraordinary. It sounds awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
Pete, if the engineering leader listening wants to tap into this work, I know you've got amazing courses, amazing books, and some limited opportunity to actually work with you in coaching. Where can people go to find out all about who you are and where you're at to get support?
Yeah, probably the easiest thing is the website. It's petewilson.co. It's not .com. We couldn't afford .com. So we got petewilson.co. And Instagram, I do all the different social stuff, but Instagram is by far my favorite. So it's just P. Wilson on Instagram. It's another great place.
Awesome. Well, we'll make sure the direct links to those are in the show notes for everybody who wants to check out Pete. And honestly, cannot recommend highly enough that you engage with Pete's work, follow him on Instagram. And if you want to accelerate in your life from point A to point B, please connect with Pete and get support on it. You will never regret that. So Pete, thanks again for being here today. And I want to end in the same place we always do. And you being a coach and having this heart, I'm excited to hear your thoughts on it. But great engineering, your great coaching has in common that questions come first and the answers follow. And we tend to look at the answers in our life, the results that we're getting, and we want to change those things. We talked about that a lot today, but it begins with our questions. So for the engineering leader who's been with us in this conversation, who wants to experience that anything's possible life, what would be the best question you would lead them with today?
Can I give 2?
Absolutely.
All right, I'll break the rules.
That's fine.
The first one kind of fits the content, right, of what we just talked about. And it would be, you know, we've already mentioned this, but it would be, do you like the direction of your thoughts? Do you like the direction your thoughts are taking you in your life? I think it's a really important question to ask. And then if the answer is no, you kind of realize, okay, that's an area of my thought life and the power of my thoughts is an area I probably need to lean into, get some coaching, read a book on it, do something about that. But another powerful question I love to ask my clients on a regular basis is, what's one thing right now that you're tolerating that you know you shouldn't? You know, it could be something to do with how you invest your time, could be a relationship. I really like asking that question. What's one thing right now that you're tolerating in your life that you know you shouldn't?
I'm convicted by that question just hearing it right now. One thing that I'm tolerating that I know I shouldn't. That's powerful. Well, I hope, Pete, that everyone listening takes both of those to heart and takes action on it, because it's no good just to hear us talk about it if we don't do something with it. But thank you again for your generosity, just the work that you do in the world. I want to acknowledge you, Pete, for just leaning into a redemption story and changing the world with who you are still to this day. It's awesome. So appreciate you. Thanks again.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I say the same to you as well. I love the work that you're doing. You're helping a lot of people. I love the niche you've got here. You're creating an amazing community and helping a lot of people in the process. So thanks for using your pain and turning it into a purpose. It's really cool to watch what you're doing. I can't wait to see what's next.
Likewise, let's do this. If you're an engineering leader who's ever looked at someone with a bigger job and a bigger paycheck than yours and thought, seriously? If they can do it, I can do it. Let's not name names, but I get it. That's why we created Career Clarity Calls, for one simple reason. A lot of engineers, probably including you, just want a deeper sense of clarity on the barriers holding you back that you need to overcome in order to accelerate your career and achieve your dreams. These short 15-minute calls give you a chance to work with one of our coaches without any commitment or pressure to get out your credit card. Scheduling is easy. Just go to careerclaritycall.com. And a number of people who do these calls ask if they can continue with a deep dive coaching session, which is usually $500. It's 75 minutes and completely life-changing. So I've decided to carve out a number of these calls for free specifically to help our podcast listeners who know you want to reach the next level. Let's jump on the phone and get you the help and clarity you need. Again, that link is in the show notes, or just memorize it. CareerClarityCall.com. Click the big orange button, select a time, and let's build your career. If you can do it on your own, do it. But my guess is that you probably can't or won't. Pete Wilson, that quote from this conversation, I believe, is one of the most important things for you to hear. Happy engineer, I'm telling you, Pete is right. I see this every single week when we're out there talking with engineering leaders like you who want more from their life, who want to get from point A to point B consistently. We wait until way too late in the process to ask for the help that we need. And it's connected to this reality as well, that the higher you go, fewer people are around you who you can be completely honest with, totally transparent and vulnerable with, and there are fewer people around you who will be completely honest with you. It is a perfect setup for isolation, just like Pete described. And if you listened to one of our previous episodes with Aaron Walker, you know that isolation is the enemy of excellence. And you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if you were not in pursuit of excellence. So this is a critical conversation, and I would like to challenge you today to take action and book a call with a coach. It doesn't have to be Oeko, but I want you to take action and book a free session with a coach. Most coaches will give you some amount of time for free as an introductory conversation, and I want you to think about this like going to a doctor for an annual physical. Most companies provide benefits where preventative care is free, and you have that opportunity to go do your annual physical. Well, a lot of people do not take advantage of that benefit. Why not? You have this opportunity for free to get an early warning detection of something that could be wrong with your body, and it's really wise to do it. So while we're talking about coaching today, yeah, if you haven't booked your physical, go do that too. But booking a call with a coach, I want you to think of it like getting that annual physical. You may show up and the doctor, in this metaphor, is going to show you something that you didn't know was there. It's like you have your blood work done and the doc comes back and says, hey, did you realize that your cholesterol is really high? It's at an unhealthy level, and if we don't take action on this, you could end up in a really bad spot. Having a conversation with a great coach may reveal for you what is actually going on in your career and in your life that is holding you back. You may have the benefit of discovering those blind spots and those barriers before they become problems, and now you can take action. it's so powerful to let somebody who's a true expert at working through these kinds of things support you and ask the questions that may uncover something that you didn't know was there at all. But also, sometimes you already have a hunch that things are probably not the best. Maybe you haven't been exercising that much, you've gained a few pounds, okay, 30 or 40 pounds, and when you go to the doctor and the doctor shows you something that you already know was a problem, hey, you're overweight and your cholesterol is not where it needs to be. It's not like that doctor revealed a complete blind spot for you, but now you will finally take action before that problem makes you sick, before you experience something permanent that damages your health and your life. Sometimes you just need to go to the doctor so that the doctor can tell you it's time to get after it. And coaching is just like that. You may already know that there's something that's probably not working for you in your career growth and advancement, in maintaining the balance and fulfillment that you want in your life, but you're not taking action. It's like that little bit of extra weight around your midsection or that unhealthy diet. You know it's not going to be okay forever, but it's not causing you any problems yet. Sometimes you simply need to go to the doctor and have them tell you that it's time to take action, and then you'll finally do it. And it's way better to do it before you get sick than after. So book a call with a coach and take the action now. Don't wait for it to become a true barrier or wait for you to get passed over for the next promotion or fired or furloughed because you weren't the one who was performing as well as you thought. Take action now. Or hey, maybe you're the person who is already sick. You have something that's not working. You are sick, so you go to the doctor to get the help that you need immediately. That could be you in your career as well. You've already been passed over for promotion. You've already found yourself burned out or frustrated. You find yourself feeling overworked and undervalued, and it is a problem. It is impacting your relationships. It is impacting your life in a negative way, your health, your satisfaction, your happiness. You're not a happy engineer. You're a frustrated, angry one. Well, if that's you, go to the doctor and let's get after it. Go book a call with a coach and start taking action now. It doesn't matter which category you're in. You may think everything's fine, there's nothing wrong with you, but we still want to book that free benefit with our doctor and just check. Book a call. At least at the time of this recording, it's November of 2022, we still offer free 75-minute sessions for our podcast listeners who want to book a call, and that's with me on my calendar. Now, in the future, it might be with someone on my team. I may or may not be the one doing it because my time is going to get more and more limited, but I want you to book that session. If it's not with Awaco, go find a coach who offers a free session and see what's there. Or maybe you already know what's probably going to become a problem. Well, go book that call and start taking action on it now rather than waiting until you get sick in your career. Or you might already be sick. Now's the time. Don't delay. This is my passionate plea to you. Don't delay. Book that call. If you want to book with us, we would be honored to support you. We've helped hundreds of engineering leaders who are dealing with these kinds of challenges. We are experts at it, but I don't want you to think we're the only people out there. This isn't about us, it's about you. But if you want to book with Awaco, go to careerclaritycall.com and book that call today. The higher you go, the fewer people you can be honest with, the fewer people who will be honest with you. That is why you need a coach. If you're young in your career, that coach is going to help you accelerate. If you're already at a high level in your career, this coach will be the person who helps you avoid the enemy of excellence, who helps you avoid isolation, who helps you to continue to thrive in your career and in your life. Ah, Pete Wilson, thank you so much for that time. I hope you enjoyed this and I hope you take action. I really do want to see you succeed. I want to see you living the life of your dreams. But we don't get that by just learning and listening. So book a call with a coach. That is my passionate plea for you. And I can't wait to see you on our next episode. Let's do this. My friend, that's all we've got for this episode of the Happy Engineer Podcast. Thank you again for investing your time with me today. If you're like me, then maybe you'll take some notes and share this episode with your fellow engineers. Why? Because it will help you learn deeper, remember these insights, and take action. So share this episode with two or three friends just like you who are committed to building their career. Lastly, make sure to link up with us at oasisofcourage.com. Grab our free tools for career growth there in the Resource Hub, and schedule a free call with our coaching team today. Please just share this podcast with anyone who you think might enjoy it. Until next time, remember to crush comfort, create courage, and let's do this.